Hello, everybody. Welcome to our weekly group coaching call for March 15th, 2018. It's great to be here today. And just a quick reminder that if you have a question or you want to talk through something or get my feedback, the best way to do that, well, there are actually two ways. You could dial *2 on your telephone keypad. That will raise your hand and I will unmute you and we can have a chat. Or you can type in your question on today's call page, which is inside the training portal. Each of these calls has its own page. You can just type in your question. In fact, you can do that anytime. So if you ever want to pre-submit a question, you know, in a couple of days you can't make the next call, go to the training portal, select the upcoming call, and type in your question. And then when I log in, I will see that, and I'll address it, and then you can catch my answer on the replay. So a couple of great ways to do that. So *2 anytime or ask a question. And I'm going to start with a question that Rafiq posted a couple hours ago. Actually, he's got a couple of questions here. Let's see. First question, what are your thoughts on email timing, day of week to send, time of day to send, and how might this vary between friends and family versus professional contacts? All right, great question. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of background, some context so you understand my answer. When it comes to traditional email marketing, you're sending out, let's say, email broadcasts, and this will be more important for you later once you work with clients on some of the stuff. If you end up doing some email marketing with your clients, timing, day of the week, time, all that, those are important variables. Those are things that you should test because depending on your mailing list, depending on the topic and the other host of other factors, you will get better response rates and better results at different days and different times. This, however, is a very different type of email marketing. This is a one-to-one message. So I want you to think about, let's just say that a friend sends you an email just asking about something. I don't know. They and I'm just making this up as I go. Let's just say that they know that you used a party rental company a few months ago, and they just need to get that information from you because they're going to have a party and they'd like to get that. So it's a very typical friend-to-friend, one-to-one email, and it's on something very direct and very common. Does it matter if you're the one sending it? Let's say you're on the other side. If you're just emailing your friend, does it matter what day or what time of day you send it? And the answer is no, right? So let's say it's Friday night. Would you be concerned that, well, wait a minute, let me not send it on a Friday night because he may not be checking his email? No, you would just send it. Now, you're not going to get a response Friday night, but you might get a response Saturday, Sunday, maybe even Monday. So I know these are not some of these emails are not to friends. I know some of them are to prospects in the case of warm emails. But it doesn't matter because the same approach is involved. It's a one-to-one email. Now, having said that, I think I would probably avoid weekend evenings if you're emailing a prospect. Not because you're not going to get results. We live in a 24/7 email culture with people having access to their email on their smartphones. But just because it just doesn't send the right message. I mean, if you're sending a warm email to a prospect at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, probably not the best time. You know, you send the wrong message, you're working on Saturday night. Second, they're going to read it, but they may not be at a place right now. They may have a date night with their wife, you know, and that's not a great time to respond to your email. And then by the time Monday comes around, your email has been pushed down significantly in their inbox because they've gotten some other stuff that they haven't responded to. So it's not going to be at the top of their inbox. So with prospects, I would probably avoid weekend evenings. I think weekends might be okay, but that would be the second one I would probably ignore. Although there's a case to be made for, well, you know, they're not getting as much email on the weekends. So that one I don't feel very strongly about. And with friends and colleagues, professional contacts, I don't think it really matters. Again, a one-to-one email, all those other rules that you've learned about email marketing, they don't apply. All right, and a second question, if my professional contact is via LinkedIn, i.e., I don't have their email, should I shorten the email of using LinkedIn messaging? No, not really. You could, and I always challenge myself to come up with the shortest possible email without sacrificing the elements that need to be in that email. So in other words, that sacrificing the personalization, the a link they can see more, or the call to action. Make sure you don't skip some of those key items that you see there. But I think it's fine. But I think just because it's LinkedIn messaging doesn't mean that you should shorten it. If you should shorten it because it shortening might make it better, might make it stronger. But just because it's via LinkedIn, it's not an issue. Just remember, these emails should be 125 words or less, which is already pretty short. So just that would be the main rule, is make sure whether you're sending it via LinkedIn messaging or email that you're at 125 words or less. Okay, that's all I saw that was pre-submitted. So we have an open floor right now. If you have a question, again, *2 on your telephone keypad, or you can just type it into the call page. And let me check. We have some accountability follow-ups that I wanted to check in on, so I'll be checking on you guys as well, but I want to make sure I take care of any questions first. Okay, I don't see any raised hands, so let me go to the accountability thread. And I want to check in on a couple of people, and I'm putting you on the spot because that's the danger of holding yourself accountable, that I'm going to call on you. All right, so I know Gladys is on the line. So Gladys said she was going to send 5 emails to friends and family and 5 to former business contacts by March 17th. I know it's not the 17th yet. But she said that half of those will be sent by the next coaching call. So curious, Gladys, how that's coming along. And let me unmute you. Hey, Gladys, how are you?
Hi, Ed. I'm doing great.
Excellent. So nothing like a little bit of accountability to get things moving, right?
Yep, for sure. So I did write in the thread that, okay, so this is not a cop-out, but the emails are written, but they're not sent. And there is some psychology they're playing tricks on me. There's just some fear involved in clicking that send button.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if you could, and, you know, I've talked about this with friends, and I've counseled people on this, but when it comes to me, it's somehow, you know, those rules, I don't know how to apply it to myself.
Yeah, I
so
hear you.
So can you talk a little bit about the psychology of the send button? What is holding us back? Why are we so fearful? Do you want to address that a little bit?
Absolutely. So, and I'm going to put you on mute because there's some background noise there. I just want to make sure, and I'll bring you back, Gladys. It's a great question. I'm glad you reminded me about that. So a lot of this has to do with what I like to call the imposter syndrome. All of us have it to a certain degree. I mean, I've read a lot about this. They say 75% of people typically suffer from it. I think it's higher. It's just that some people, it may not be as pronounced, but we all have this natural fear about, like, who am I? How dare I do this? Or who am I to think that I can do this, or that I can position myself as this, or that I can go out to people I know and see if I can help them? Who am I? You know, who do I think I am? It's a big topic, so let me just address some very specific ideas. I'll say this, again, all of us have it to a certain degree. It starts coming, it starts loosing its grip on us over time. Right now, because you're just getting started, that imposter syndrome might be like going full steam ahead. But I'm telling you, it's going to get better. The only way, there are lots of different techniques to get over this and to, you know, you can't just destroy it, but you can mute it. And there are many different ways to mute that. But the most reliable way for you guys is to start taking action, is feel the fear and do it anyway. Your comfort zone will grow as you start stepping slightly outside of it. Where I like to play, and I attribute this to so much of my success, is at the very edges of my comfort zone. I'm always toying with that edge. I'm always just being the deviant that's just constantly stepping out of it, but not too far, just enough to wreak some havoc, if you will, in a good way. And I think that's a sensible approach. I'm not saying do something that's going to cause you to hyperventilate, but do something that scares you, but not so much that you're panicking. And before you know it, you've created, you've expanded that comfort zone. It only expands by you taking this action. So that's the first thing I would say. Second, we make a bigger deal out of this than other people do on the receiving end. We really do. I'm not sure how to convince you of that. You're just going to have to trust me. People are busy with their lives, with other things, and they're not going to spend the rest of the day pondering over your email and just wondering what you're thinking. You know, they're just not. They're busy. And it's not that they're not going to help you. It's just that you're pouring way more emotion into this than they ever will pour into. So just understand that. And then the third thing I would say is ask yourself, what's the worst thing that can happen? That's the one that's done it for me many times. What's the worst thing that can happen? With someone you know, worst thing is they'll go, oh, that's kind of cool. I can't think of anyone right now, but let me just write her back and congratulate her and say, you know, I'll be in touch. Let me give this some thought. Or the worst thing that can happen, the worst case scenario is they don't respond. Nobody in your network is going to say, Gladys, please don't email me again. Nobody's going to say that, okay? So with your contacts, the worst thing that can happen is no response. Let's think about prospects. What is the worst thing that can happen? No response. With a prospect, it's even easier. With a cold prospect, the worst thing that can happen is no response. I think in our minds, and I'm speaking from experience, with cold prospects, we think that what this is going to involve is driving over to their office, going up to the receptionist desk, and asking for this VP of marketing to see her. And then going to her office and pitching her and then getting rejected. That's the equivalent of what many of us are thinking. But in reality, what's happening? We're sending her a very relevant and personalized email, and we're not sitting in her office doing this. The email is doing the work for us. So when you think of it that way, it's like, well, gosh, why wouldn't I send emails? You know? So In a nutshell, Gladys and everybody, because I know this is an issue for most of us when we're getting started, and really, guys, I deal with this all the time at a different level. I procrastinate on things that are just I'm fearful of right now. So I deal with this too. And the first step is just to hit the send button. Just click that send button. By doing that, the fear loses its grip over you, and you're going to start expanding that comfort zone, and it's just going to happen. There's just no way around that. Nike was onto something when they said just do it, because it's they knew exactly that's the way to expand that comfort zone and to get over this. So I wish there was another hack, but that's really the best hack. So let me bring you back on. Does that make sense? Does that help?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I just needed that pep talk. It never hurts to hear somebody say it over again. But here's the interesting with that. The interesting thing is that I find that the thought of emailing cold prospects is a lot easier than emailing friends and family. I don't know why. I guess, you know, because I don't know them, they don't know me, I feel like there's nothing at stake. I mean, if they ignore me, it doesn't hurt my feelings. I don't lose anything. So maybe I will just start with that, because the more I press the send button, maybe the easier that will get.
Yeah, and I totally get that. I think, and I've felt the same way, what's helped me with friends and family is reminding myself what it is that I'm selling, so to speak. Because for some reason, my brain thinks that everything that anybody could sell to friends and family is something they don't need. So I grew up kind of in my parents were involved with Amway back in the 70s. I did a little bit of network marketing when I was in college. And, you know, the first thing they tell you is, like, contact all your friends and family. And, you know, you're trying to sell, like, water filters and soap and all that. So that's deeply ingrained in my psyche. I have really bad memories of approaching people I knew about something that they didn't need. That is a very different situation from I have a professional service. I'm not saying, you know, you need it maybe, you know, in your business, but I'm looking for this type of individual. Here's who I could help. Can you think of anyone? And when you put it that way, the person on the receiving end, I want you to think about how they're thinking about it. If it's soap or a water filter, there's this feeling that you may want to do this hard sell, because even though they don't need it, everybody drinks water, everybody uses soap. But when it comes to a professional service, there's no way to oversell it, because either get it or you either need it or you don't. You see what I'm saying? So this
right.
doesn't run the risk of embarrassing yourself or embarrassing them if they refer you, like some other consumer product might.
Yeah, I totally get that. Okay, well, that's helpful. Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, and you know, maybe you might have to think of some examples. This doesn't happen often, but sometimes I get let's just call it, it's a business-to-business request. When you get a business-to-business request and it's framed the right way and it's professional, and you're on the receiving end, do you feel awkward? Do you feel embarrassed for that person who's asking? Not if it's done right, I never do.
Never,
when it's
never.
A, right?
Never.
When
never.
It,
and,
when it's
and,
a consumer
you know,
product,
you feel good for that.
You're right. You feel good for them. So.
Yeah.
Remember that, because that's exactly what you're doing. So maybe that's another way to think about it.
Yeah. Well, okay. and I think this might help other people too. I think there are also some unfounded fear that, you know, they might say, great. And then you're in the position of, uh-oh, what do I do now? You know,
yes.
You know, great. I would love to use your services. Yeah, I need this and I need that. And then I thought about that and I went, uh-oh, well, then what do I do next? Can I actually do what they're asking me to do? And here's the crazy thing. I mean, I have written oodles of research reports. I have written oodles of case studies. And so if it's something, you know, to that effect, I have ample experience, but still the feeling is if they say yes, then I'm kind of like, okay, can I deliver? And so there's that too.
Yes. First of all, don't try to push away that fear. I would say, and I know this sounds awkward and abstract, what I've learned to do is acknowledge the fear and say hello to it and just keep doing what I'm doing. I find that when you try to wrestle with the fear, you get more involved in it. You know, it's kind of like when you try to argue with just a really nasty person, then you become nasty because now you're involved in it. But if you just acknowledge them and just, hey, it is what it is, I can't change, then it totally changes the interaction and dynamic. So The fear will be there. There is no way around that. I think in a way it's a blessing because it's fuel for doing your best possible work. Like if you know your reputation is on the line and, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do now? You're going to pour everything you've got into that. And I think that's a healthy thing, by the way, because that approach is unsustainable. You're not going to be able to spend 40 hours on a case study, you know, throughout your career. But on your first case study, heck yeah, do whatever it takes. I don't care if it's 40 hours. I spent over 30 hours in my first case study, you know. It just you do what you do because it's not about the money. It's about much more than that.
Well, okay. Here we go.
You know, I'm writing myself a note. I'm going to this is not in the training in because of the way we have it set up. It takes a few days to get some new stuff up there. So I'm going to post this as a file in the forum. I have some training I did recently on the imposter syndrome in the summary sheet that came with it. I'm going to post it because it's got, I forget how many, but it's like 2 dozen ideas for dealing with these fears and concerns. And again, coming from experience, just like this is what I use. And it's funny, the more you use it, the less you need it. And now these days I'm able to do some things and I only have to wrestle with a little bit of it. And it's not a gripping fear anymore. So
well, that'll be helpful. I would love to see that. Okay.
Yeah, I'll get it to you. Sure. You bet.
All right.
Good stuff. You know, I hope you guys recognize and see that so much of this is the head game, isn't it? So much of it is about mindset. It's crazy, and it's a lot of people blow it off thinking it's woo-woo stuff, but I find one of the amazing things about being self-employed is not the money and the freedom. Those things are great. To me, it's been about the fact that you have to work on yourself so much more than you do when you're an employee. You know, there's nothing wrong with being traditionally employed, but when it's all on you, you have to become better. So at the end, regardless of what you guys end up doing, because I know for many of you, you're going to go down this path, and then it's going to lead to some other really cool things. Some people, you know, end up expanding. I mean, look at me. I never planned to be a coach. I always planned to be out on my own. And then when I became a freelance copywriter, I never saw – it wasn't a stepping stone to something else. But eventually, you start seeing other things that you enjoy that are related to the work you're doing, and then your business either expands, broadens, or you pivot. So my point is that no matter what, this is going to make you better. And if you end up at one point going back to traditional employment, or you'll be a better person. No matter what happens, going down this path will make you better. It will make you better personally. It will make you better professionally because of the things you have to do and how you have to stretch yourself and just learn to be better at what you do. All right, star two on your telephone keypad if you have a question, or you can type it in. All right, so let me see who else wanted me to check in on them. Rafiq also had, I don't think he's on the call because I know he posted this question a little bit earlier. By the way, Gladys, before I forget, so just keep us posted in that accountability thread. What you end up doing between now and Saturday. So the deadline is still there. Just get it out there. Can't hurt. Send button. All right. Also, Nadine, she said, I don't think I have much going on in my network, but I will send 10 emails to friends and old acquaintances by Friday the 16th. So I know it's not Friday yet, Nadine, but curious how you're doing with it. If you'd like to chime in, just let me know again, star 2 on your telephone keypad, or just type in your answer. All right, let's see. Gladys, you already told me. Alice. I'll commit to sending out 10 warm emails to cold prospects I found last week by Monday. Okay, by next Monday. So, again, I know it's not Monday yet, but let me know how you're doing with that, if you're on track to make that happen, Alice. All right, I'm also going to check the – I don't think we have any new websites. I'll say this, and I posted individual responses to those of you who I've reviewed over the past couple of weeks. But let me know if what I shared didn't make sense, or if you have a follow-up question to that, happy to expand on it. I'm here to help you. I want to make sure that my feedback was helpful. So let me know if you want to talk through that as well. I'm open to doing that here as well. All right, this has got to be the quietest you guys have ever been. And the whole time we've been working together, I don't see any raised hands. I'll give you another couple of minutes. I know there's got to be questions out there. And by the way, let me see. Keith is on. Keith, I know you had posted. So Keith had said he's going to send emails to people I know. Hey, Keith, curious how, if you want to raise your hand, curious if my feedback on your email scripts was helpful. I think you had a great start there, just a couple of little tweaks. So let me bring you on. Hey, you're on, Keith. How you doing?
All right. How are you doing?
Really well. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. Yes, I made the changes on my email, and it seems like it's pretty good. I don't have it with me right now, but I think I the only concern that I had was it seemed like I kept saying I in like three straight sentences, so I kind of changed the last sentence where you recommended after I said I specialize in writing emails and blah, blah, blah. I said I said something like I'm a seasoned or I'm a 27-year broadcast communications veteran. Who uses his experience to create writing that hits the mark, something like that. So I think it flows pretty well now.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I like that. I like that angle. It's kind of like the hey, I've applied. I've spent 27 years in broadcast communications, and now I apply that experience to help small businesses generate more leads. It's kind of like. You can leverage these 27 years of mine to help you get results.
The only thing is, even though I last several years, though, I've been working in management and haven't been really doing the commercials, so I do have the experience writing commercials and promotions and things. That's still kind of the same thing, but,
yeah.
You know.
It is. Yeah, you just want to obviously be honest, but just let them know. I mean, the fact that I want you to think of this, and this is a good point because it applies to everybody here. This idea of like, well, I don't know if I'm really qualified, or I only have so many years, or this and that, or I don't have this, or I don't have that. Keep in mind that to a sixth grader, a ninth grade kid is a big kid. Is extremely knowledgeable, right? So you don't have to be a PhD in order to qualify. To the people you're approaching, Keith, you're a college student or a master's level student, and they're in middle school. And that's good enough. You know what I'm saying? Like when you're in middle school, does it really matter if he's in going for his bachelor's or going for his master's, or the kid you're looking up to, it doesn't really matter. They know that you know a lot more about this stuff than they do.
Right. Right. So, I have not yet, but I'll plan on maybe doing it this evening or no later than Monday, sending out my emails. I got to get the email list
I've got the places where I want to send them, but I just haven't gotten their email addresses yet. So I got to look for those maybe when I get off work tonight.
Great. Great. Awesome. Well, keep us posted. And just let us know in that accountability thread.
Okay.
And it'll be good for you, and I think it'll be good for others also to see that the activity that others are engaging in.
Yep, that's what I'm looking forward to seeing what's going on and see if I get any kind of a response.
Awesome. Well, hey, right now, you again, don't get emotionally attached to any kind of response. Just right now, it's really about practice, so get them out there. And
okay.
Think of response as gravy right now. The biggest
uh-huh.
benefit you'll get right now is, again, as we were talking with Gladys, is pushing the boundaries of your comfort zone. And,
yeah, right.
And just getting practice. That practice is invaluable.
I do think, although I don't have much, to be honest with you, on my network list, I'm kind of like, I think it was Gladys who said, I kind of feel more confident sending out the cold prospects than I do some of the people that I have that I actually know that I have to send it through LinkedIn, because I don't have too many people's emails addresses, but I am connected to some people on LinkedIn, but it's not, I guess I feel more confident sending them the cold prospects. I'm kind of like Gladys on that range.
Sure. Well, go for it. I mean, I'd rather see you start somewhere than stall. So
right.
Go for that. Sure.
And one other question, I think it was Rafiq who asked this. As far as sending prospecting emails to cold prospects, you said sending them in the evenings, but not weekend evenings is probably best. Is that okay if you send it like weekday evenings, but not weekend evenings?
Well, what I said was it doesn't really matter when you send it, but
oh, okay.
The one time I would avoid is probably Friday or Saturday nights.
Right.
But, you know, Wednesday night, that's fine. And I'm not saying I prefer nights over days. I'm just saying because it's a one-to-one email and it's relevant and personalized,
uh-huh.
I mean, which makes it a one-to-one email, it doesn't really matter. But obviously Saturday night at 8, especially this Saturday, St. Patrick's Day, you know.
NCAA basketball.
In March Madness, not
right.
the best night. You know, they're going to be in an Irish pub watching the game, and no. So
yeah.
just hold off.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, keep us posted. You're ready, man.
Okay, well, I feel ready sometimes, but I just hope I just want to have some success too.
Oh, absolutely. Well, success comes, you know, you just got to act before you feel ready.
Right.
And just keep doing that. Again, I mean, it's if you wait until you feel ready and qualified, you won't act. Because it's
right.
not, I mean, it's just our primal instinct. We have been designed, we have evolved to avoid danger. You know, you're not going to jump out of your cave when you know there's possibly a tiger out there. That's still a big part of, that's just in us. It's in our DNA. But we're no longer in those situations, especially when it comes to this stuff. But our bodies react that way. So we just need to remember that and just act anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, Keith, thanks for the update, my friend.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, so let's see. I got a Alice says she's back on. She accidentally hung up. Cool. So Alice, I was just checking in on you to see how it's going with the email prospecting, based on what you shared in the accountability thread. So if you want to let us know, *2 on your telephone keypad. Would love to hear from you. And while I'm waiting on that, Nadine said. Oh, this is great. She said, "Hi, Ed. I have my first pro bono job. It's for a CPA that I work for every now and then. He wants me to make a landing page and a downloadable brochure or checklist. Sorry, I would love to talk, but I'm at work sneaking in on this call." I totally get it. No worries. I know some of you are like that in situations where, you know, you're at work or with other people or there's background noise, so no problem. But thanks for the update. And congratulations. That's a big deal, you know. It is a pro bono job, but you know what? It doesn't matter. You're working with a client. And you're going to learn so much from just working with a client. Just pretend this is paid. Put as much of your heart and soul into this as if it were, you know, a $10,000 project. And I know you will. And you're going to get a lot out of this. So fantastic. Glad you're putting yourself out there and taking action. And that's a great first step. So keep us posted. I'd love to hear how this goes. And one quick tip or suggestion here, Nadine, is don't stop what you're doing. So keep prospecting. Keep doing what you're doing. And one of the things that I see a lot of people doing is once they land something or they think they're going to land something, they stop the prospecting machine. And unless there's a very good reason for you to do that, let's just say that the first project you land, the first client you land, is a ton of work. In fact, it's way more than you thought. And that has happened before. Some people I've coached. Then, yes, I do think it makes sense just to – so you can – don't overdo it and you can kind of gauge what your week is going to look like, especially if you have a part-time or full-time job and you're trying to do this on the side. But other than that, just keep at it. Don't assume that, you know, every other prospect you reach out to is going to award you a project. It takes much more than that in most cases. So anyway, congratulations. That's great. All right, I think this might be Alice. Hey, Alice, is that you?
Yes, it is.
How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Doing well. Good to talk to you.
Yes. I'm feeling more energized, but I'm also feeling procrastinating.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of what you've already talked on is, okay, am I really able to do this?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
totally
I've been going through my list of 10 companies that I looked at earlier to just find the names of.
Mm-hmm.
And I find the names, and something I didn't notice at the time, the names are so similar, I'm having trouble Googling, finding them on Google.
Because
a lot
because
of them
the
have third-party
so
administrators in them, in their
so
names.
So the names are – what do you mean the names are so similar? So similar to what?
The names of the companies are similar.
Okay.
So when I Google them, I come up with all kinds of gobbledygook.
Okay.
And I'm having trouble honing in on that particular company to find out who best to contact and to find an email address.
So Google is the first place I go to, but did you go through that supplementary lesson where I showed you my process where I go to LinkedIn and then Google, but then there's other ways?
Yes.
Okay. And I included a PDF with some other tools out there that you can check out. So I always like to start with LinkedIn and Google, and if that's like maybe 50 to 60% of the time, I'll be able to find everything I need that way. But for the other half, I have to use other tools. So go through that PDF and see, you know, try some of those other resources and see if you can't find them that way.
Okay. But I have my template for my warm email written and modified from yours from the white paper for Jennifer. So that was a great help because I can I combined language from the two of them because I want to talk about my year's experience.
Wonderful. Hey, how did it go with Robin's contact? Robin Curtix.
She said she'd get back to us this week, and so now it's Thursday, and I haven't heard, so I'm starting to think that, you know, she calls the people she's going to work with first.
Okay.
But I thought the interview went well. I forgot, you know, half of what I should have said at the end to close that was in one of your other emails, but I won't forget it again. So, and I wrote a nice thank you note and included it in.
Okay, good. So you did have a conversation with him.
Yes, I had a conversation last Friday at noon.
Okay, gotcha.
And she said she had one other company she was talking to. She's got a couple companies she's looking at. A couple writers she's looking at.
Well, hey, you know, you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're following up. And I would say if you don't hear back by, you know, Monday, Tuesday, just check in. And see.
I'll do that.
Yeah. Excellent.
So that was exciting, but I don't think well on my feet. So when I'm on the phone, I had some questions written down, but I didn't have my clothes, my strong clothes written down. So that's what I forgot.
That's all right. You know, you got to make mistakes, and I wouldn't even call this a mistake, but you got to make mistakes in order to really learn this process. So just look at it as it's just a learning process that it's going to take some practice.
Yeah, it is. But I would really like the job. It sounds like it's right up my alley.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to get it, and if not, it doesn't matter. Like I would just move forward today as if you didn't get it.
That's what I'm doing.
Right. So start with the prospecting effort as if it's not a done deal, because it's not. Because again, a lot of people wait, and then you could waste 2 weeks thinking, well, this is going to come through, but what if it doesn't?
Yeah. No, I'm moving ahead.
Excellent. Well, good. Well, keep us posted in the accountability thread. Let us know how it's going for you.
Okay. And thank you so much for all your help and support.
Absolutely. My pleasure. That's why I'm here. Okay. So I got a caller. It's a Colorado number, last four digits, 5550. You are on. Hello. Oh, I lost whoever it was. I lost you. Looks like it got disconnected even. I'm not sure what happened there. That's weird. Okay. So again, star two, if you have a question or if you want to get feedback on anything, I am here for you. Okay, Renee just typed in a question. She says, do you have a spreadsheet template or any other resource we can use to keep track of our prospecting in the most organized way? I don't, but here's what I suggest you do. The way I started this, for months, I created a very simple spreadsheet. When I say very simple, I mean it was column A, first name, column B, last name, column C, company, column D, email address, and then column E, E, F, G, and so forth would be contact attempts and follow-ups. So, for instance, the first contact attempt, I would just write down, all right, sent warm email on March 15th. And that's it. And then when it came time to follow up, I would look at my spreadsheet every day, go down that column, whatever it was, E or F, and look to see who I should probably follow back up with. And on the next column, I would just jot down the next action. Okay, sent follow-up email on March 28th. And that's it. So when I say simple, it was really that simple. And that's what I recommend you start with, because the moment you try to adopt a contact management system, that could easily become a stalling tactic, even if you don't intend it to be that, because now you have to learn the system. You have to upload your contacts. Then you feel like you have to get used to it, maybe find some new prospects and add their contact information. I've seen people take weeks to doing this. So but don't do that. And the other thing I was going to suggest, Renee, is Kim posted in the forum a really cool little spreadsheet that he created. And it's got a little bit more functionality than what I just described. And let me do this. Let me tag you on it. I'll tag you on it now because I thought it was a really cool. So I just tagged you on it in that thread, and very simple, a little bit more functionality, but without adding complexity. So that's something else you could try. But yeah, that's it. And you're right. I mean, and especially we're going to talk about this later. Once you start following up and nurturing prospects who aren't yet ready, then the tracking does become very, very important. So if you want to go ahead and create something simple now, great. Over time, you may want to adopt a contact management system. But again, I don't recommend doing that yet if you don't already have one, just because it could add complexity when the most important thing right now is to go ahead and start knocking on doors. All right, so let's see. Got the number in Colorado with a hand raised, 5550. Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can. Who's this?
Okay, this is Gabrielle. I tried to answer a few
hey.
Minutes ago, and my new headphones hung up on you instead.
Yeah, I unmuted you, and then it just dropped. Sorry about that.
It's my fault. I won't use them anymore. Not for that. I just thought I'd update you, and I do have a question, but I'm not sure how to ask it as a question. I have most of the pages written for the website, but I was listening 2 weeks ago when you were looking over the websites for Rafik and a couple other people, and I was applying it to what I had. I had made some of the same mistakes where the content crossed over to a different page. And I was trying to fix that, but I have the same issue with some of the gray areas between the pages. And so when I make a change on one, I feel like I have to go make all the other pages. And nothing I write sounds even remotely good as writing. So I feel like, I don't know if this is imposter syndrome, and I've been writing for years, but I read it and it sounds like somebody very unprofessional wrote it. Somebody doesn't know what they're doing. And I'm actually trying to follow some of the B2B formats as well.
Okay. So now does it sound like that because it's just choppy, it doesn't flow, or because it's just not good writing, period, or like, what about it doesn't feel right to you?
I have one thing I hate promoting myself. Passionately hate it. So anything I write promoting myself sounds very bad to me. Where when I wrote the B2B mastery stuff, because I wasn't promoting myself, it sounded much better.
Okay.
And I followed the format, and he said, this is portfolio material, but still didn't sound that great to me. I mean, I felt like I should be writing like Hemingway stuff, because I'm a writer, and they expect that because I'm a writer.
Well,
no,
you it
were
sounds
saying,
to
you
me
were
like
that
it's...
They... Go ahead.
No, sorry. I was going to say what I'm hearing. It sounds to me like it's like a lot of the imposter syndrome that we talked about earlier. That you're just being really tough on yourself, and many of us are. I mean, we're creative people, and we're going to be much more critical of our stuff than somebody else will, number one. It's hard for me to really give you feedback without seeing it. So what I would recommend, Gabrielle, is just make a commitment that by next Thursday morning, you're going to post it in the website review thread, and I'm going to review it for you. That's, I think, the next best step is to – you know, give yourself a deadline. You know, work on it if you need to over the next few days, just with the understanding that you're probably not going to feel like 100% about it no matter what you do, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you felt 100% confident, I would, in a way, I'd be a little bit worried.
Yeah, I would too.
So that's actually a good thing that you don't, but just put it out there and let's see, and I'll give you honest feedback. And the feedback I'll give you will be, I'll also, as you've seen with others, I'll give you some ideas. Hey, I would go with this or emphasize this more. I would take this out. And then you'll know. You'll know how to make it. And I'll even give you a grade. It's like, okay, right now it's kind of at a B minus. Here are some things on how you could take this to B plus or A minus. And that's a great place to be once you get to that level. So we could talk about it right now, but without seeing it, I think the best thing you could do is commit, give yourself a deadline, and let me look at it.
I had planned to do this today, to have this for you to do, for you to look at today, and I showed it what I had, my first version of my homepage, to a couple other people. That's the page I'm most iffy on because it's promoting them or anything that's promoting me. Or making the connection between what I have done before and what I can do for them, that I have trouble transitioning from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have had a couple other people read it, and they say they have given me different opinions on which page the content should be on. So I thought, okay, we have three different opinions now. So I'm going to let Ed look at it, and you're going to be the
totally.
One who's going to decide.
Yeah, I think with this, I'm not the final answer here, but because the work we're doing is so specific, I think you're better off letting me look at it. And then if you want to get some other opinions, that's fine, with the understanding that they're not going to have the context that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like asking a friend, it's like asking not even a friend, like an acquaintance, for advice on a personal situation where they don't really understand you and your life and what you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to understand the advice they're going to give you is based on factors that are probably not relevant to you.
Oh, no.
And that's frustrating, right? So it's the same thing here. Unless the people you've been asking are marketing directors and they work with writers, I mean, that'd be the ideal person. Then I would be careful. It's not that because they don't know what they're doing. It's just that they don't have the right context to be able to give you the best possible advice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now,
okay.
I'm okay you showing, and all of you guys showing copy to somebody else, as long as you direct them on what kind of feedback you're looking for. For instance, hey, is this clear? I'm not asking you for your opinion on, is this, you know, am I positioning myself the right way? When you read this, is it immediately clear what I do and whom I help? That's an example. Then I think that's fine. But just draw the line there.
Okay.
Okay.
I think I'm just going to do my best to fix what the problems that I know are there, and I'm just going to present it to you, that you tell me, you know, move this over to this page or something.
Perfect.
And then I'll go fix it from
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Do you look only one time? Because I thought I saw that you looked at somebody the second time or something. I don't want to rely on that, especially not a third and fourth, but maybe.
No, what I offer
problem.
One review just because, I mean, you can understand, right, there's quite a few of you, and if I offered more than one, it would get out of hand really quickly. So here's what a couple of people have said, one of the things you mentioned was the headline on the, you know, the Why Me page. I've reworked that. Can you let me know what you think? So things like that, yes, but I'm not going to do a full review of your site, but if there was one area, for instance, that needed a lot of work, and you've reworked that since, I'm happy to take a look at it.
Okay. Are you looking at only the content for the sites or the site themselves? I still have problems with my site. I still haven't completely built it and got it to where it works right. I mean, there's issues with, like, programming issues, and I don't know if it's on Bluehost site or what, or if I'm just not considering something, because I've never built a website before.
Well, I look at visuals, and I want to, you know, the obvious things to make sure they work. For instance, if I think it was, I forget who it was, and I clicked on their contact page, and I got
mm-hmm.
a 404 error.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, so things like that, of course I'm going to mention them. Or let's say I see this a lot where you have your homepage and you have your headline, but then you've forgotten to take out or have WordPress take out the page titles. So it says home and then your headline and then your body copy. You want to turn that off so it doesn't show the page title for every page. Instead, it uses your H1 header, which you get to name. So things like that I'll point out. And, of course, visually I'm looking to see if it's clean, if it's professional, and so forth. So I'll point things out. I've seen some websites out there that look like they were built in 1996. And, you know, I will gently tell you that, hey, this is, you know, I think you could find something that looks a little bit better. So I'll tell mm-hmm. you. Are you using WordPress?
Yes.
And is it a theme you bought, or where did you get the theme?
I got it from WordPress, but I did not pay for it.
Okay.
I don't think it's a problem with the theme. I think it's something, the mechanical problem, I think, is something that I'm not considering. Like, one of them is my header. I created it in Canva, and I made it exactly the size they said to, but it comes up side by side at the top when I loaded it. And I can't figure out why, because I've never seen such a problem like that, and I haven't done any of these before. I'm not sure whether to get a website expert like Jim Wright or something in on it, or if this is something I should be calling Bluehost about. Because I've had so many problems already with this before, the hijacking and all that. I haven't even fixed all of that.
I don't think Bluehost is going to be able to help you with something like that. That's kind of outside mm-hmm. the scope of what they provide. Because if you had a hosting problem, yes. But if it's a WordPress issue or an issue with the theme, then they're not going to be able to help. I think it's a good idea to reach out to your network, maybe some of the forums that you belong to, some people who are WordPress experts or knowledgeable in WordPress. See, they might be able mm-hmm. to at least lead you down the right path. You know, what might be causing it? Because if you can at least narrow it down, then you'll know where to look and get help.
Okay. You just said something about a WordPress. What you said right before that, something about a WordPress page number? I'm getting in message something like that, and I didn't understand what it meant. Page
WordPress.
Title?
Oh, page title? The H1 header, which is the, that's the headline for the page. It's the size
yes,
of the
yes,
that's
headline. The problem I have.
Okay.
But I don't think it's the same one. There was something I'm getting a message about at the top about not that I need to turn it off or something.
Do this, Gabrielle. Why don't before you do anything else? Can you take a couple of screenshots, or maybe not even screenshots? Even better, in the forum in the Q&A thread that Crystal mm-hmm. should have just posted or is posting. For this next 7 days, go ahead and post a link to those pages where you're getting those errors and then tag Crystal and see if she can maybe give you some direction as to what might be causing it or where to look, something along those lines. I think she may be, mm-hmm. that would be a good first place to check.
My site isn't loaded, it isn't launched yet.
Okay, so then just describe it as best you can in terms of the error message you're getting. and where.
Okay.
Let her know
okay.
what theme you're using and tag
okay.
her and see if she can, you know, if she has any ideas of what might be causing it. She may not know. Keep in mind with this stuff, I mean, unless you're looking under the hood, it's hard, but based on what you're sharing, she may have seen that before or something along those lines, so she might be able to lead you in the right direction.
Okay. I could do
and
that.
And just, you know, to set the right expectation, she's not going to be able to go in there and troubleshoot the theme just because that's outside the scope of what we can do, you know. It's eventually what you may want to do, and you're doing it the right way now, I mean, you're bootstrapping, but eventually you want to go to a paid theme because, and that's why we love StudioPress and the Genesis framework, because they provide really good support, and they're constantly updating these themes. So when WordPress updates, all their stuff is already updated, you know, things are not going to break, and if they do break, you have access to some great support specifically for your theme. But, you know, that's something you can do once you have some clients and you got some money coming in. Just know that it's going to be good for you to move in that direction at that point.
Okay. I think part of that problem is something that is on Bluehost's side, that because they were trying to fix everything already from the hijacking, that there's something I missed and did not change, or a toggle switch somewhere that I
mm-hmm.
need to fix somewhere on the site to make something disappear, or to make something appear the way it's supposed to be. So I might be better off starting at least with Bluehost. Maybe they'll tell me, well, this isn't our problem, or yeah, I can do something about this, so I can tell you how to fix it.
Okay, yeah, start with them then, in that case, and then let us know if it's still an issue or they say no, that's not
mm-hmm.
on their end.
Yeah, I am paying them for something, so.
Yeah.
They should at least be able to tell me, though, this isn't our scope here. We don't do this, or if it's a programming issue. So I don't know if it's a programming issue until I've asked them at this point, because I'm so new to this.
Yeah. Well, just check. Yeah, check in with them first, then.
Okay. Oh well. Did you want to know anything else on the updating? I mean, I'm still working on. I haven't even done anything on this week yet, I admit, because I'm working on trying to get this website built again so that I can start putting
mm-hmm.
something on there.
Okay.
But I have been looking. I have been doing the prospecting stuff. I have been looking for. I have actually applied for something that was on Cult of Copy already. But the guy never got back to me several days ago, and he's never even looked at my message. He did say PM me, but he didn't look at my message yet.
Okay.
And this is something I was actually qualified for based on past experience. It wasn't in my niche, but I'm just looking for something that's work. So
have you followed up with him?
I don't have any other way to follow up. That's all I have is his name on Facebook.
Yeah,
he
that's what I meant. But you PM'd
him,
right? You PM'd
mm-hmm.
him, so can you PM him again and just to follow up?
Okay.
Yeah, it can't hurt, right? It's the worst thing that could happen is you get no response, or he says thanks
mm-hmm.
but no thanks. But I wouldn't assume too much until you follow up. You won't know, so just definitely follow up.
Okay. Anyway, like I said, I have started looking for different ones, and the only thing I don't know how to do is the finding the email addresses for them.
Okay.
But I haven't looked at the stuff on the site yet for actually finding the email addresses. I know you said you have something on there for finding their email addresses, the companies?
Yeah, it's in this week's lesson. So there's
a
video lesson that I shot on the process I use, and then I included a PDF with some tools that you could also look into. So if my method, again, it's 50 to 60% of the time, you'll be able to find the email address that way. But
okay.
If that doesn't work, I have some resources there that you could look into.
Okay. Do you know if the free version of LinkedIn offers us email addresses for the companies? I haven't even looked yet. I just thought of that.
No. Okay. LinkedIn doesn't do email addresses, period, unless that person has posted their email address under the contact information in their profile.
Okay.
Yeah, LinkedIn, what LinkedIn does, is great at, is helping you find the name of the right contact in their title. Once you have that, then you need other tools to help you find their email address.
Okay. Well, thank you. Appreciate your help.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Good stuff. All right. Let's see. I just got a question in from Marissa. Actually, she says, "Hi, Ed. I don't have a question at the moment, but I wanted to give you an update. I'm unable to talk as I'm out of the country at the moment. I'm on vacation in Switzerland." Oh, lucky you. "I made the small changes to my website, and I feel ready and excited to start prospecting. Since I've been out of the country, I've fallen a little bit behind. I'm planning on hitting the ground running when I get back home sometime next week. Meanwhile, I've been thinking and writing down names of potential leads in my personal contact circle. Since I've been a little quiet lately on Facebook group and calls, I just want to let you know that I'm still here and still working." Fantastic. Thanks for the update, Marissa. Enjoy your vacation if you're still on the call. Congratulations on, you know, getting to this point. I think you're at a great spot right now, and I'm glad that you have a plan for kind of catching up when you get back and getting back on track. That's the important thing. Life happens, guys. The key thing is making sure you have a plan to get back on track, you know, and setting these deadlines. And I'm a pretty disciplined person when it comes to this stuff, but I still need to set those deadlines and commitments, and I need to write them down. Otherwise, they just don't get done. I have good intentions. That's part of the problem, and I think many of us do. But so, yeah, fantastic. Thanks for the update, Marissa. Safe travels. Have fun. All right, star two on your telephone keypad. You have a question, want to talk through something. Just FYI, I don't see any raised hands right now. So if for some reason you thought you raised yours, I'm not seeing it. So try again. And, all right, good stuff. I was about to call on Kim, and he just raised his hand. Hey, Kim, how are you, my friend?
Apparently an hour late. I just joined, so I missed everything.
Oh, yeah, we went to daylight savings time this week.
Right. No, just for the accountability, because I promised that, so I just wanted to give you an update.
Yes,
I sent out emails to 12 people.
Uh-huh.
All in my network, 7 of those came back to me, and 3 of those, I would say, have something that I consider a hot lead. So one person is actually talking to their marketing director at the moment. It was one person that was working with me, like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, so long, long time. Didn't keep in contact since, but apparently they are looking for someone who does content. So...
Okay.
No promises there for any hiring or anything else, but they are looking, and she's happy to recommend me, and she holds the position of director of marketing herself. So I don't know. I'm pretty happy about that. And I got another lead from an American friend of mine. He will actually fly to Portugal in April, and he wants me to fly in as well to have a coffee to discuss a project with him. So, again, nothing really set in stone yet, no scope, no anything else. But, yeah, it gets my hopes up a little bit. So it was a good idea to do that.
So I'm curious about your friend who's going to be coming to Portugal. Did you know he had some kind of business or something going where you might be able to help him directly? Or was that one that you reached out to see if maybe he could refer you to someone?
Right. So... this guy works for Weebly as the vice president of operations. Weebly is like a web host. So I worked with them a few years back when they first started settling down in Europe. So I basically helped them as a project manager to build their European office, and we have kept in contact since. He has a lot of consultation background as well, and he's currently, he knows me as a trainer or customer support kind of person. So I just reach out to him and ask him, hey, this is what I'm doing right now. You know a lot of people in San Francisco. You know a lot of startups and everything. Do you know if someone needs actually someone to help you? So basically from there, it's a little bit ominous. He said, oh, yeah, I have something. Can't tell you about much about now, but I'm in Portugal in the middle of April. Let's talk. So that's where it's at the moment.
Wonderful. You just never know, do you? It just that's why I say reach out to everybody, because sometimes it's the ones you think are going to turn into something don't, and those who you didn't think would do.
Yeah, and I got a setback as well. I wanted to write to companies, but I found out that it's illegal here. You are not allowed to write companies from your site with an email if they are located in Germany or if you're writing out of Germany, like apparently against the law. So I need to find my way around that. So that's why I haven't sent to any companies yet.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's the GDPR law that's coming into effect all over the EU, I think in May, which is going to make that a little bit more difficult. So it's something we're looking into here, by the way. But it sounds like you're talking about a separate law in Germany alone, right, that's in play right now?
Yeah. Apparently, I don't know since when it's in effect, but I talked to a friend who's been here like for 10 years. He runs his own business as well. And he just mentioned when I asked him, hey, what's your method to find out companies to cold call for? And he's like, yeah, you're not allowed to do that. So my only options are either direct mail. So that is allowed. I can send them a direct mail, or I can cold call them. It's just the email that's forbidden, which to me absolutely makes no sense. But I haven't picked up the courage yet to actually pick up the phone and cold call someone. That's like another dimension for me yet.
Something to consider is the I like the direct mail route. So one of the things that I've done and had success with is you write it just like you would a warm email, but then you put it in a letter format. And, of course, you sign it, you put it in an envelope, you hand address it, put a real stamp on it, and send it out. Prospects aren't used to getting that kind of mail anymore. And so you have the advantage that it's physical piece of mail, and it looks personal. So the chances of, I know it's more work, but the chances of it getting read and responded to are much higher than with email. The reason I don't really promote it too much is that it is more work. So if you're in a situation where you can use email, I think that's going to be the best approach. But in your case, consider that, because cold calling, You need to have the courage. You need to know how to do it well, and that takes a lot of practice. And the courage thing is a huge obstacle, because it's very easy to put that off because you're not comfortable with it, you know. So,
but
yeah.
How do you get it to the person that actually has decision making? Like when the company is a little bit bigger, then the direct mail is being handled by secretaries, personal assistants, and the whatnot. So, like, a lot of it could be dying before I even send it on.
Yeah, so it's you got to do more work in terms of the research to find out exactly where they are, where they're located. I've had the most success by kind of narrowing it down, and I could tell that they're in the San Francisco office, for instance. And but just to confirm, I'll call the San Francisco office and just double check with the receptionist, and just by letting them know that I have something I need to mail her, whatever. And I have really good success with that. So again, it's a little bit more legwork, but from that standpoint, that's effective. Now, to your other point about, well, how do I know it's going to get past the gatekeeper? That's the beauty of this warm email prospecting approach. It's so personalized and relevant that it usually does. What has a high risk of not getting past a gatekeeper is a generic broadcast, and that's not what we're doing here. So you can't control it beyond that. All you can do is raise the probability that it will get to that person, and when it's personalized and relevant, it has a very high probability of getting through.
Okay, I'll see if I try that then. I still need to talk myself into it. It's a little bit scary at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, well, keep us posted, thanks. Kim. I'll check in on you next week and regarding your other attempts.
Cheers. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you. All right. So let's see. I got someone here. It's a New York City phone number, 2193, last four digits. You're on. Hello.
Okay. Hi, Ed. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Who's this?
Oh, it's Joy. Joy Jones.
Hey. How are you, Joy?
Hey. Oh, I'm good. Thank you. But I'm feeling a little lost here. I just have a few questions. So I came in late on the call, but I hear that other people have, just like the previous caller, have contacted people and the prospects and everything. So are they? Did I miss something? Are we using like a script to contact people? And you know, our prospects, our email prospects, or are they just kind of winging it and making that part up? The last thing I saw from our kind of like our homework was to just get the list done. And then on this call, I thought we'd talk about our email prospects, you know, what we should say, how to close the deal, things like that.
Yeah, so did you we sent out a notification on Monday. We got a new lesson posted, and it's the prospecting lesson. So that's where we talk about, okay, how do you craft a message? How do you send it out? How do you find the prospect's contact information? Yeah, it's session 5, I believe.
Okay.
So let me... If you go to, a couple of things. We're sending out emails Monday morning when there's a new lesson. It's basically every Monday. So from now on, it's every Monday for the next few weeks, you're going to get new training. But if, when in doubt, just go to the training portal, and you'll
see
it
now.
There. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I went to 5 and I see that. Okay. I'm kind of not feeling that lost. I just need to read up on it. And I mean, and just like I said, I am still getting my list done and getting used to actually following the group on Facebook, because I hate to admit this, but before this, I did not use Facebook.
You're not missing anything. Don't worry. not in the group, but
yeah.
Facebook in general is
it's
not the best place to be, but in the forum, that's a good place to be.
Okay, so I'm learning where the threads are, and I definitely want to join the accountability group. I just kind of felt as though people were like a little bit further along than I am, but I think I can catch up on it.
I think the best first place for you, since you're working on your list, I would go ahead and just start with session 5 as soon as possible, because then you'll see, okay, how do I contact these people? It's very important to not spend too much time on that starter list. In fact, I would even pause where you are right now and move into session 5, because the approach that I'm teaching you is not about, okay, build this list first and then learn how to write the email and then send them. It's like, man, as soon as you got a couple of contacts, just go ahead and learn how to draft the email and send those out. It's important to just start sending out some prospecting emails.
Yes. I have another question, unless it's in session 5, but...
Yeah.
Is this included in session 5, or is this going to be down the line? If we get a prospect and we start talking about fees and all that, and also a contract. Are we getting into that in session five, or is that later on?
It's later. It's actually the next 2 weeks. It's a two-part process. Just wrapping up the finishing touches on that. And I'm going to give you the exact process once you do get somebody on the phone. Well, first of all, how to get them on the phone, and then how to lead that discussion, what questions to ask, and then how to quote the project. And then I'm going to share with you my fee agreements, which are essentially my contracts, which you can use and to kind of create your own. So yeah, you'll get all that for sure.
Okay, good. All right, I feel better. Thank you.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I totally get it. You're probably thinking, what in the world? How do they know all this? What are they talking about?
Yeah, I knew it had to be somewhere. I was a little behind. And I'm also at work right now. But thank you so much for all of your help. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Joy. By the way, I'm just curious. Did you get the email today reminding you about today's call? I'm just a little worried that you may not be getting your emails. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, I did. I got the call email, and I'm looking for my email now about the session five being available. If I don't find it, I'll let you know. But I do get your email.
Okay, just wanted to make sure, because that does happen from time to time, and we'd like to troubleshoot it just to make sure that you get our emails. But when in doubt, in case you don't see them, just know that from now until we're done here in early April, you'll get a new training every Monday morning.
Good. Very good. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right. Good stuff, guys. Let's see. I don't see any questions posted here on the call page. So, again, star 2 if you have a question, want to talk through anything. Need feedback, I am here for you. All right. See, I think this is Gabrielle. Is that you?
Yes, I was just listening, and I heard what you said about the emails not coming through. I had said something to Crystal earlier that I didn't get the email for today's call with the call information and the code. That's what I needed, and I hadn't gotten it yet. I got it 10-15 minutes into the call.
Oh, that's weird. Okay.
So it was just, I got it, but it was extremely late.
So yeah, sorry about that. It's when in doubt, Gabrielle. So that is all. That's always going to be inside the training portal. All the information for the calls. So if you don't get it, just know you can log in and grab it there. We send the emails just as an extra reminder, of course. But has that happened with the Monday emails as well, when we publish new training, where you don't get it until, the next day or something
No, it was only today's. And I did look inside the portal. I could not find the part that has the code and the phone number to call, and I didn't have the phone number. So I looked in the portal. I don't know where to look. I'm looking in the wrong place, apparently. But it was just today's call with the call information that I needed.
Let me.
Whitelisted.
Yeah, let me go to the. Let me go to the call. Okay, upcoming calls. Just bear with me. Okay, so I see where you got to go. Okay, so if you look at the left, are you there now?
Yes.
Okay, so in the left menu, lessons and calls, the second item, live Q&A calls. And let me know when you click
on that.
Let's
see. I thought I was there. I'm on the wrong part. Let me go look up here. Back into the dashboard. Okay, I'm not in the dashboard. That's the problem.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay. I have to log in again, I think. Is it Smarter Freelancing Library? I'm doing this from memory.
Oh, library.smarterfreelancing.com.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
That's it, okay.
And then just go to B2B Launcher 3.0. Are you there?
Now I am.
Okay.
Okay. Dashboard.
Right,
on the left.
You see them on the left. Program schedule and overview, and under that, live Q&A calls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then this week's call, the next call is always going to be the one on top. But you see how you can access the future
okay.
ones.
Okay. Access and replay. Okay.
Yeah. And then when you go there,
it's really small.
Well,
okay.
Select how to connect. There's three options in big and blue: phone, web call, and broadcast.
Okay.
When you click on phone,
I see it. Okay, I didn't go that far.
Yeah, yeah. So just know that that's always going to be there.
Okay.
And I would that number is the same in that conference ID for these calls.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, so something I do not for these weeks. So I don't think it does. It shouldn't. Something you may want to do
is on AWAI webinars. It does. It varies every single time because I'm doing some of their classes as well. So I have to go look up the code every single time. So I assume yours did. That's just the way they all work. But if
vary,
I've got to write down now so I can get in.
There you go. And what I do with these is I set up a recurring appointment in my calendaring system, and I just put the call in information there so that it's, you know, I don't. But anyway. That's where it is. Sorry about that. You know, it sounds like it was just a delay today. I get these as well because I'm in the system like a student, and I got it this morning. So I don't think it was on our end, but you know, email's a funny thing. So who knows?
Yes, I know. And
okay.
Maybe the change in time messed up schedules with emails or something. Anyway, it's hard to know. Nobody's ever there to tell us anything anymore.
There you go. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I see Deb just wrote in saying, I sent two previous questions comments. Sorry, Deb, I'd missed these. All right, so let's see. Not really a question, but saying that I feel just like Gabrielle in that I think what I've written sounds awful. Even after your helpful feedback, I've written and made what might be major changes. I hope I haven't gone too far the other way. maybe I just heard that you would be willing to take a look at certain parts of a rework. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So if you got something key, you know, something on your homepage, something on one of your pages, and you did you reworked it or you're not really sure, absolutely. What I don't do multiple of is a full website review. So that's where I draw the line. But Deb, I'm happy to take a look at it. In fact, let me go there. Let me go to the website review thread. And I hope you saw from our conversation that it's perfectly natural to feel like you're just your stuff is just not there. In fact, that it's not just there, that it's just awful. So I hope you feel better about the fact that you're not alone. Okay, so let's see. DebDickerson.com. Yeah, all right, so perfect. So right away, you got that striking image, and then you took out the quote, and then you told them right away what this website is about. I help travel business write marketing materials that convert through inspirational storytelling and clever copywriting. Okay, good. I like that better. Couple of tweaks. I help travel business, and you have apostrophe, so it should be travel businesses, no apostrophe, right? Marketing materials that convert through, and through I would change it to the full spelling instead of the shortcut. Inspirational storytelling. Storytelling is actually, I see it more as one word these days, and clever copywriting. Same thing with copywriting, that's definitely one word. So storytelling and copywriting. Inspirational storytelling and clever copywriting. I like that. Okay, so then we scroll down. I'm a travel copywriter who works from experience, who knows from experience what it takes to sell travel. Okay. All right, so the headline. I'm a travel copywriter who knows from experience what it takes to sell travel. I would rework this a little bit. I think you're almost there. Who knows from experience? What if you switch this to say, I know what it takes. I would just play on the previous headline. I use storytelling, right? A storytelling approach to selling travel, something along those lines. Instead of I know from experience, it just feels like take my word for it, I have the experience. So it feels a little fluffy. There's not a strong foundation there. But what if you instead just focus on the fact that, you know, you take a different approach? Because I know that's what you've told me in the past through some of our communications that you really want to, really emphasize, is that you take a different approach. So, something along those lines I think would work a little better, Deb. All right, so let's look at the body copy. Travelers today are savvy researchers. They refuse to read dull, factual writing. They crave an adventure. That means your content needs to be brilliant, which is a challenge, I know. Selling a travel experience requires a different kind of copywriter. You're not selling widgets. You're selling a dream. To sell a dream, you need a good storyteller. That's where I come in. I'm a passionate traveler with the skills to weave captivating story. Seasoned traveler, I understand time-consuming frustration of searching thousands of travel websites. Tour. I like it. This is really good, Deb. I don't know why you had doubts. This is now hitting the mark. Absolutely. I love the body copy. Fantastic. There are no wasted words there. You got it. Here you go. So I think now that I've read the body copy, I think you can take some of that even and work it into a headline. You're not selling widgets, you're selling a dream. So what if you went for the headline, I use storytelling you know, kind of the IU storytelling to sell the dream. Those two elements, that's not the headline itself. Those two elements would work nicely into a powerful headline. That would, I think that's the way to go, something along those lines. It's like you're not just selling facts. You're not maybe like your standard copywriter. You use story elements to sell the dream, to sell the experience. I had a guy who was heard speaking one time. He was the director of, I forget what the title was, maybe the president, but the head guy at a major convention center. It was actually the Tampa Convention Center, which is huge. And he said, hey, you know what we're selling? We're not selling convention space. We're selling memories. He had his whole talk was about that. It was so powerful. It's like so true. If you think of yourself as selling convention space, it's going to be a tough go. But if everything you do is based on the fact that you're selling, that you're creating memories, and that's truly what you're selling, it's like how can we create the best memorable experience for your guests, for the people you're bringing together? That's ultimately what we want, isn't it? So that's what your headline needs to do. It's like I work with travel writers to sell the dream, not just the the travel package, right? So, something along those lines. Good stuff. I like it. All right, so yeah, don't beat yourself up. I think you're. This is much much better, Deb. Congratulations. All right, let me make sure I didn't miss anybody because I had missed Deb's. Renee, Deb, Marissa, and hello, Deb. Is that you?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah. How are you?
Good. I snuck into one of the cubicles we have here to actually get on the phone, and so I got here just right after you first started. Looking at my question, and I'm really happy. I really appreciate the fact that you think it's a whole bunch better.
Yes.
And
it really is.
Yeah, and I get it. I'm really bad sometimes about taking shortcuts, like with the word through. And I guess I thought storytelling was hyphenated, but I can see that I can change that to one word. And then I'll work on.
Yeah.
I haven't got the samples page in there yet, but I'm working on that. And I'm not doing this all myself. I'm working with a web designer. She lives over on the coast, but she's been really helpful. And as far as how I'm keeping up, I'm doing a pretty good job. I really feel so much like Gladys in that, in your mind, you can talk a good game, but then when it comes to the actual putting yourself out there, it's super, super scary. Because you just think everybody's going to say exactly what you said. Who do you think you are? Why do you think you can write this stuff? But I remember somebody saying something, ready, fire, aim.
Yes. That is one of the key tenets of this program. It's essentially, right? It's just if you wait until you've aimed perfectly, you'll never fire.
Exactly.
So fire and course correct as you go. And I'll say this, too. We think we're the only ones struggling with imposter syndrome. You'd be shocked. The research I did on this, you'd be shocked at how the people who struggle with it. These are big names. These are celebrities. These are people who are at the top of their game, often struggling with imposter syndrome. So I take comfort in knowing that I'm not alone, and I hope that gives you comfort as well.
Yeah.
This is something, again, we all have to deal with, and the way to deal with it is not to ignore it. It's just to acknowledge it. Oh, you're there, and okay. Make yourself at home. I'm not really going to pay attention to you. But, and then what happens is when you ignore it, it loses its grip over you.
Yep. I guess it just takes a little, like you said, the first couple times, that, and hopefully you get some positive feedback, and then it'll be a whole bunch easier from that point on.
It is. It's a journey.
Yes, it is.
It's a journey. You don't quite get there either. It just you just make progress.
Okay. Well, like I said, thanks again. And I too am going to join the accountability folks. I just hadn't figured out how gung-ho I thought I could be accountable. So, and as soon as I feel really comfortable with my website being completely done, which it'll probably be like after today, I'll be ready to roll.
There you go. Well, don't wait until you feel comfortable. I think the whole point of the accountability is these are things that are scaring you right now in terms of getting to the next step. So you need a little bit of a push and accountability to make sure it happens, and you put it out there knowing that now it's public. And that will motivate you to keep going. So use it that way, because if you wait until, okay, I know I'm going to do this, there's no way around it, then that's okay, but that's the easy stuff. We want to work on the stuff that, you know, there's a decent chance that you might skip.
Nope, we're being accountable here.
There you go. Yeah. So let us know, you know, if maybe it's your website, maybe it's starting with your prospecting, whatever. Just think of something that you think you might be putting off or stalling on, and post it up there in that thread. Hello? I think I just lost Deb. Okay, so yeah, guys, use it. Take advantage of it. That's why it's there. And thanks to Kim for posting it, and for all you guys for being brave and getting it up there. All right, so last call. I haven't seen any more raised hands. Let me check here on... Hey, just got a question in from Cheryl. Just joining as I had a work meeting. My question is regarding samples to add to the website. I have 3 spec assignments I did when I took the writing program at AWAI. Would it be a good idea to use those? They're old, but I have ideas on how to revise, but not so much as to be another stalling tactic moving forward. Absolutely. Use whatever you have. I like to say, look, whatever you have, pick the best stuff out of that, but just pick something. And if you need to rework it a little bit, maybe refine it, that's fine. Give yourself a deadline, though, because like you said, this could easily turn into a stalling tactic. And I want to encourage everyone to take a look at the writing samples I started out with. I posted that last week in the forum. It's a separate thread, and it's a link to an article where I talk about what I did and what I started with, so it's not just about the samples. And then you'll see, guys, I'm not telling you to do this just because it sounds good. I did this myself. I started with some very, very humble samples. They weren't even for a course. This is pro bono work I did for people who were outside my target market. Not the best-looking samples by any stretch of the imagination, but I used what I had. And the story I tell in that article is completely true. I walked into the office of a vice president of marketing of the software company. I came to him referred through a friend, and I had printed these samples, put them in a folder. And he was flipping through them, and I was just thinking to myself, here we go. This is where I lose the guy. And he's a very quiet guy, very stoic. And he just said, all right, well, here's what I need to get started with. I need this brochure written about this, that, and the other. When can you start? Oh, and yeah, can you send me a quote too? I couldn't believe it. what else did I have? I had nothing else. I just gave him what I had, and eventually somebody took a chance on me. Once he took a chance on me, guess what? I had a sample in my target market that looked good. So doesn't, you know, just use what you've got. I'm not saying the first prospect you come across will be, will say yes, but you got to start somewhere. So, yes, you can absolutely use those, Cheryl. Hey, Deb, I lost you earlier. Hello. Deb, I can't hear you. Well, I can hear the background noise, but hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Can you hear me? I got disconnected. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Deb, you're coming in and out. It looks like maybe the connection or the phone cable is getting
could
disconnected.
Be. I didn't really have anything else to say except for thank you, and I didn't mean to raise my hand again, if that's what happened.
Oh, yeah. No worries. You're welcome. Yeah, you're getting cut off. Guys, I don't see any more raised hands, any more questions. We'll go ahead and wrap up for today. Again, we'll continue the conversation in the forum. We got a weekly Q&A thread there. If you're still trying to wrap up your website, I encourage you to make next week your deadline. Do whatever you have to do to get that wrapped up. Let's get moving. It's important that you keep moving through this process. Again, this could take forever. You could spend another 4 weeks on your website, and you're still going to change your mind about certain aspects of it. This is a work in progress, and so let's just get moving. Ready, fire, aim. Good enough is good enough. And I look forward to continuing the conversation in the forum, and we'll talk again next week. Have a great weekend, everybody.